B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, thank you for hanging out with me. It's 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station, and I appreciate your patience, especially all those people who love the move. And a buddy of mine, who I'll just say is close to the situation, all right, says, are you ready, Tyler? He said, listen, you've seen this movie before. Watch some games before you lose your mind. So when we go into the break and you do your update, Tyler, and you go Prep Round exclusive, moving Ben Simmons exclusively to the four, like smoke. I love the Ben Simmons emoji. He always used the bowl emoji where the smoke comes out of the nose. That's a great emoji. But smoke was coming out of my ears. Right when I hear moving exclusively.
Hey, I'm just using the word that he used. That's all I'm trying to do.
Not at you. It's just at the situation. And, you know. So my guess is that they think they're going to go for it, try to win it with this crew.
Joel Embiid thinks they can.
I do too. I've been saying this a long time, but, you know, Joe better be the focal point on the offense. They go as Embiid goes.
Yes. Yeah, and the thing is, too, I talked about this not too long ago where I said that, you know, I'd love to believe that because of a shutdown, you go based on talent alone, and talent alone, they are a good enough team to get it done. But consistency-wise, I don't see anything that's going to make me feel like they've got some kind of kickstart to make them a championship-caliber team. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I was waiting for.
All right.
Again, I'm hoping. That's all I'm doing is just hoping.
All right. I hope too. I hope you're right. I hope Brett's right. To me, this is a Brett deal, right? Like, I'm feeling this is all about ABB. All about Brett. Don't you feel that way?
I think to an extent, yeah. I think that, you know, he knows his job's on the line.
Why can't this kid shoot a freaking mid-range shot? Why won't he do that?
We're going to be asking ourselves this 40 years from now.
Why won't he do that? By the way, Flyers, I'm pumped up. We're going to have Flyers guest tomorrow. I want to dub tomorrow Flyers Day. It was funny. I was told to one of the guys. Because one of the guys who were doing the work here in the building, one of the construction guys, they were terrific. And he goes, dude, I'm fired up, man. Squad's coming back. Of all the sports, isn't hockey the biggest lock?
To return?
To finish.
I
think they're all going to start.
I lean towards the NBA. And the reason I do is because I think that if these guys can keep themselves in check from, you know, pulling or Sean Holmes.
Well, that's my point. We already got a guy doing it.
I hope that they can, if they can keep their heads on basketball, then I think that the situation that the bubble has presented with enough activities to keep them occupied and have fun and also keep it in one secure location where there's no in and out other than the, you know, the workers. I think that the NBA has the best structure. When it comes to the NHL, I think it's a great plan, but the worry that I have is that it's in a city still, and I know it's hub city and everybody's going to be there, but there are still outside factors, you know, people that aren't employed or work with the NHL
right,
that are still there.
Except here's the deal, it's Canada, and they're pretty much encased. I mean, look at the cases. Now, meanwhile, you're in the middle of the epidemic. I just told you that that one disease expert called Miami, which is 2.5 hours away from Orlando, Wuhan. Right? So they called Miami basically the epicenter of the virus. Then suddenly Wuhan. At least up in Edmonton and Toronto, you're fairly safe,
you know, and
it appears.
And we say bubble, and when we talk about bubble, we just think that there's this, like, you know, the Simpsons movie dome comes over top of Disney World, and that's just not true. But I hope that, you know, Disney is a large enough corporation and the NBA is a large enough corporation to keep the people, to keep the players away from the everyday park visitors and things like that. If they can maintain that and the guys are cool, I think they should have a good amount of success.
Let me ask you this. How are you going to have the Phillies go play the Marlins?
I don't think you can.
How are you going to go down there?
I'm worried about them coming here for opening weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's a much smaller amount of guys. But
by the way, you're right. I don't want them anywhere near. You can't even have them stay in a hotel.
They're sleeping on the bus.
Tell them to sleep down at Lakes. FDR Park for you. Tell them to sleep, put tents up there. Let them sleep outside. You want them in Center City?
Not really.
You really? Right? You want the Marlins from down there coming to stay in Center City?
No, I really don't.
If you have a restaurant, you want to serve those guys? You want to get near those guys?
Yeah, they'd be ordering takeout food, and it would be dropped at the door in a hazmat suit, like the Joel Embiid hazmat suit.
Exactly. That, I still don't know how. I can't wait for baseball. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to talk about it on the field, what's going on, but I still don't know.
Yeah, baseball, I'm significantly concerned about baseball.
Let's go to Chris in Pennsauken. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, my friend?
What's up, baby?
I got to tell you, this Sixers, I mean, these guys are the Keystone Cops. I mean, Brett Brown coming out like he just found a four-leaf clover and came up with this last night where, oh, he looks superstar at the four. We've been asking Ben to shoot for 2 years, and I love Ben. He's my kid's favorite player. But him and Elton Brand and Ben, all three of them are to blame for this. Because if you would have thought this at the beginning of the year, you could have said, you could have signed Malcolm Brandon instead of Horford.
Right. The problem with Brogdon, and I like Brogdon too. The problem with Brogdon is he was a restricted
18-5-7.
I love him as a player, but he was a restricted free agent.
Okay, and then here's my next one. So if they didn't want to do that, and they can't.
And I love Brogdon, so don't get me. I love the kid.
No, I'm same here. But if they must have had something in the back of their head thinking, if he don't shoot, we got this plan coming up. Because if they would have thought of this before, why would you give Harris and not keep Jimmy?
Here's the thing.
$280 million at the four, and they're not even going to play the four. This is ridiculous. Elton Brand gets such a skate, man.
Okay, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. No. It's not about Elton Brand. Here's the problem. You weren't going to have Jimmy and Brett. You either had to move on from one to get the other.
But here's the problem now, and I understand. I respect everything you're saying, but Brett just checkmated himself, because if he don't get to Game 7. Of the Eastern Conference Finals, he don't get there. He's getting booted, man. And
listen, you could be right, Chris. Listen, you might be right. The only thing I wonder about is if he got the Eastern Conference Finals, and right, there's a and because of the pandemic, there's everything's up in upyheaval.
Yeah, but here it is. I don't think it's going to be an upheaval, because I think Elton Brand knows what the city, his ears to the city, and about 75% of the people wouldn't give a rat's rear end if they got rid of Brett Brown because of COVID or because he slipped on a banana peel. And now we're all tapped out. Now we're stuck. We're stuck again.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to be stuck.
I still think take a 12-foot jump shot, man.
Well, no, you're right. I agree. Like, he's got to do that.
He pisses me off. Hey, that kid pisses me off, man. Do me a favor.
Do me a favor.
50-year-old pole is hot right now, and everybody's right, late.
Give me. I have to say it because people don't know. Give me the birds. Give me what you have on the Eagles.
Yeah, I like that they brought Peters back. I think it's a good safety blanket. And I love Baldy. And I love when you have Baldy on. But Baldy, that just deflated me too when he said same big news. I thought we were going to get, you know,
Clowney.
The kid from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I don't even want Clowney. I'm not wasting $9 million on that. He takes all plays. He don't sack.
Yeah,
nobody.
But the problem, listen, I love Ngakoue too, but...
Get Jefferson Griffin for $5 million. He's sitting out there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind. You really don't want Clowney?
No, I'll take Griffin for $5 million. He had 8 sacks last year, and he had an off year. Thank you for letting me vent.
I love you, Chris.
I'm a Polish dude, man.
There you go, buddy. Take it easy. God bless you, my friend. Who you want? Todd, like, I love Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Boy, you can't afford Ngakoue.
No, I think making a trade is too much. I like Griffin a lot. I do, and for $5 million, that's a pretty reasonable price. But if the price tag on Jadeveon Clowney has gone down to $9 million,
yeah,
you have to kick the tires
off. Well, that's my point.
You have to.
That's my point. That's why you got to do that.
Yeah, the guy wanted 20-something when off-season started. He's down to 9? Yeah, you have to take a run at that.
That's insane, man. That's why, you know, I don't even see. Like, to me, that you put Clowney on. First of all, you still need another end, I think, in the mix, right? Don't you still need him?
I would think so. I mean, I don't trust Barnett all that much.
So
you go Graham, Clowney, and then on the inside, Hargrave and Cox.
I know, man.
It's a great front four.
I know. Now, again, you know. Listen, I get it. I like Griffin. I'm not, you know, anti-Griffin for sure. But I just think you got Clown. Like, first of all, if I'm ranking them, and Ngakoue 1, Griffin, Clowney 2, Griffin 3.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But again, because of the Alshon contract, you can't do that. I don't see how you can fit Ngakoue in.
And re-sign him, next season.
Yeah, I'll see it. DJ in Maryland. DJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. DJ?
Yeah. You hear me?
I got you, DJ. How are you?
Okay. I just want to say, like, I really like the roster, but as far as changing it, I pretty much have zero confidence in Brett Brown.
Yeah.
I just think this epidemic pretty much delayed them sweeping him out the door.
Well, listen, if they would have went and played, right, if there was no pandemic, right, and they go play and they're bounced out in the second round, then he's fired. You're right.
Yeah, because I think I love the roster, but he's just, I mean, there's other teams like Toronto. Nobody thought that they would do anything this year. And they're at the top of the East.
Yes.
Sixers have a roster that should be at the top of the East. But, like I said, for the past 3 years, even this year, I'm not expecting anything. I'm not even hopeful because he's going to be overmatched over the other coaches. That's just how I feel about it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you might be right. I just don't want to go into it thinking that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Like, I'm ready to watch basketball, but I just have no confidence in him. Yeah. And I think you guys need to give Simmons a little more leeway. I mean, how long did it take for Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd?
Hey, you're talking, DJ, you're talking, how many times did I defend Simmons? You're talking to me. You're not listening to the show. Well,
yeah, I heard you, but, you know, you keep saying you want him to shoot. But I think he's being smart by playing to his strength because he knows – He's not trying to hurt the team by just jacking up threes.
Okay, here's what I want him to do. When I say, you're not listening to me, and I want to explain to you. What I want him to do is I want him to shoot a mid-range, just shoot the ball. Be a willing shooter. I'm not asking you to be Steph Curry. I want you to shoot mid-range. Like, when they sag off you, DJ, just take the shot. Like, if it's a free throw line extended 12-footer, take that. I'm not asking you to jack up threes. Take that shot. Because if he takes that shot and he's aggressive going to the rim, he's a top five player in the NBA.
Yeah, I believe it's coming because, yeah, I know.
I'm trying to be patient, but I lose my patience when you got to move him to the four.
Yeah, but I think you just, Brett Brown, he's just delaying. Just
I mean, listen, you might be right.
Pull a magic trick on us, you know, just.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I hear you. And thank you, DJ. And maybe you're right. I got to pull. Tyler, don't hate me, Tyler. Tyler, don't hate me.
Oh, boy.
So we do the playback every.
Yes.
Every day. To Mutz Green. The program director doesn't like it, but we've been doing it since the pandemic started because there's no sports. But I think I want to make an executive decision that I don't think I can handle the playback today.
It is a heart-wrenching one.
The playback today is Sixers-Raptors Game 7. The quadruple doink. What's the matter, Nat?
Is my mic on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. No, I can't handle that today.
You can't handle it either?
No. I mean,
the sad thing is there were good moments in that game.
It was a great
one. What, on a 17-0 run?
It still burned in my brain, the 1, 2, 3, 4, him squatting on the ground.
Well, it's
Joel's
not,
face.
It's not that we can't handle it, because we can certainly handle it. And I think it's interesting. See, one of the reasons why we do the playback is that there hasn't been sports. And so yesterday we did the NFC championship game.
Right.
And so what it does is it allows you to tell the story of that game, which was in 2002, a dramatic story. And it's not just we're playing highlights. We're telling you the story of heartbreak. It's storytelling. Not many people understand that when it comes to the,
right,
you know, the people that work here. It's about the creating a storyline.
Well, yeah.
So today, I'm irritated because Simmons is moving to the four.
Right. I was listening on my drive in. You don't like it.
So I don't think I can handle doing this game.
That makes sense. Because
and Tyler put in all the work, and I don't want him to be upset with me.
Well, hey, you've got one for tomorrow now.
I was going to say, use it tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow is a better day.
Andrew can sleep in a little bit.
All right.
No worries.
All right. Well, I just want to thank you, Tyler, for doing it.
Oh, of course.
Listen, can you feel it? The excitement, the anticipation has been growing for weeks. The time is almost here. That's right. It's coming back next week. The teams are going to be taking the field in less than 10 days. There's no better place to get in on the action than with the DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To put you in the center of the action, DraftKings Sportsbook is celebrating the new season with a special promotion. Before the season starts, place a bet of at least $25 on who will be crowned the champion, and they're going to give you a $25 free bet to use on opening day. Now, while we're all excited for baseball, don't forget there's European soccer happening all week long, huge golf tournament that is sure to be thrilling. DraftKings Sportsbook, U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. Plus, it's easy to deposit, withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated sportsbook app. Use code Fanatic when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code Fanatic to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You got to be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Cuz Radio with Tyler. So we're not going to do this. We're going to spare you the, at least for one day, Sixers-Raptors. Quadruple joink. How did you feel? I have not gone back and watched that game since. That was one of my devastating moments. How'd you feel watching that game, Tyler?
So I was here. I was actually in this seat cutting audio for the game. And when Jimmy Butler had the layup, scored the layup with about 4 seconds left, the worst realization in all of sports hit me. There's too much time left on the clock. And especially when it comes to the NBA. Because with the NBA, when you have a timeout, you can advance the ball to the half court. You know, 4 seconds is an eternity when you can advance the ball that far. And we all knew Kawhi was going to get the ball, just a matter of where and how. And it dawned on me that 4.2 seconds was just way too long for that man to have the basketball in his hands.
You know, they win it if they win that game. I think they beat Milwaukee.
I think they beat Milwaukee, too. I don't know if they beat Golden State with healthy Durant, obviously. No, we know that, you know. Yeah,
that's different.
But I think they go to the finals.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm
going on the premise they get hurt. That's why.
I was less confident that they would win Game 7 in overtime than I was that they would win the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, had they had won that game, I felt supremely confident that they were going to beat the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Especially how it played out, right? Remember, Milwaukee wins two, and then the Raptors. Van Fleet comes back, smells like feet, was dominant. Remember, he did nothing against the Sixers.
Yeah.
So we'll spare you that today. Tomorrow, heavy Flyer day tomorrow. We're going to celebrate Flyers. We'll have a guest, one of the players, one of the guys going to call up, talk all about what's going to happen in the bubble in Toronto.
I feel pretty good about them.
I feel real good about them.
Under the assumption, the only thing that worries me is that 4-5 matchup with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of that, I'm good.
It's a shame. Because they were playing so well.
Unbelievable.
Right? Like, they were on fire. You know. You hope you can keep that momentum.
Let's go, Canadians.
Yeah, that's right. How great it's going to be. Please come back. Please come back. Because at 12 o'clock, we're going to have games, wall-to-wall games. You kidding me? Oh. Let's go to Sean in media. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Oh, man, please stop. Stop talking about the Raptors. Yesterday was bad enough with that playback. Thank God you're not there. I feel like I got kicked in the balls all day long. And now it feels like you're just running my face over with the Raptors. I hate that, too. Like, Tyler hit it in the nail on the head. I hate the fact that you call timeout, you can advance. Like, you might as well just give them the basket at that point. You might as well have 10 minutes on the clock.
Yeah, but look at the shot he hit. I mean, he hit a shot where he was falling away. I mean, it was a ridiculous shot.
I'm not going to. I get it. It was ridiculous, but I can't deal with it. I just can't deal with it. Just because you're right. Like, we had him, and I feel like the Bucks were running out of their steam, so I think we could have beat them, and who knows what would have happened in the finals. I mean, you beat the Raptors in that game 7, all the momentum's in your court.
Yes.
You just have everything. If you're not tired, you're having, you know, Embiid's done with his diarrhea spells, and then they're just ready to roll. I can't. And then listening yesterday, oh my God. It's like I'm listening to that game hoping that there's a different outcome.
I know. I thought the same thing. Sean, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
And then you're listening like Joe Buck, like, oh, Chad Lewis picked that ball off the turf. I'm like, how many times have we heard that before?
I know, man. Yeah, I know. Oh my God, Sean! That was a devastating one. I gotta tell you, it was. But here's the thing: I got lulled into like thinking the game. It's weird. You almost feel like the game is still in like that. Somehow, the outcome will change. It's the weirdest phenomenon.
It's nuts because it's put together so well with the playback with you guys. So yeah, you totally get that feeling, and you're like, oh, maybe something. And then you hear, then you start remembering, you know, Mike Allstadt and Rondé Barber, and you know, I'm like, oh, never mind, it's not going to happen. And Joe Jurevicius, oh, God almighty, man, I couldn't take it.
Joe Jurevicius,
Yeah, you remember that one. Who's chatting? What other game was that where they were stepping on, was it Mike Zordich or something, where they were stepping on his chest, running over? Was that the Panthers?
Oh, that was Carolina, Carolina Foster. It wasn't Zordich, it was Mark Cimino.
Yeah, Mark Simon, yeah, same dirtbag.
Right.
Hey, cuz, I've been saying this the last 2 years with Simmons. Like, nothing against Brett Brown personally, but even when you're on a construction crew or you're just being the boss of something, if you're too friendly with these guys and then you try to get mean with them, they just don't respond. So I think he's just too nice with them. And so it's almost like an act of defiance, I feel, on Ben's part to not do what Brett told him to do. So I just think he's like, well, screw you. I'm not doing it. I'll wait till I go somewhere else. Then I'll shoot the lights out. That's the only thing that it can be in my eyes, because he has all the talent in the world. Why isn't he doing it? Now, if it was Phil Jackson, you know, Phil Jackson would be in his face grabbing his jersey saying, you better start shooting that ball. And he's going to do it because, you know, like Sonny Seven Bronx Tales, it's better to be feared or loved, you know?
Can I ask you guys, let's talk about style for a second, right? Is there a way to play like, do you remember seeing video of the Showtime Lakers?
Yes.
All right. Is there a way to play like that? I'm like genuinely asking the question. Like, where
I don't know.
Like, Ben is playing in the role of Magic, and Dean is playing in the role of Jabbar. Right?
Yeah.
Is there any way you can play along? Now, granted, the biggest thing is the threes, right? You know, again, talking like an updated version. I'm talking about an updated version where, you know.
Yeah, like a 2.0 or something. See, that's what I mean, because I don't think that, I think that's one of those, like, once-in-a-lifetime scenarios with the Showtime Lakers. Like, I just don't think that works. I just don't think it works nowadays, like you said, with the threes and
then. Well, but again, so like, you said 2.0, and it's an updated version, right? Like, you're going to shoot, you know, obviously you're going to shoot threes because that's what it takes today, but you're not going to shoot, you know, 43s.
No, that's what, so it has to be tweaked. That's why it's an updated version. So, yeah, I truly believe that, like, if you're right with the comps, you know, with Jabbar and with Magic.
Well, I mean, only because of how they had breakouts, right? Like, they ran, they were an amazing fast break team. I don't know why, you know, Sixers should be able to do the same thing with their defense. Starting breaks and sweeping the glass because of their length, you can run like that team ran.
You even hear Brett say that with Ben. Like, he's the fastest guy in the league. I mean, he gets down the court in three strides. So he's almost setting them up to be that team. So
in the half court, you focus around Embiid.
Yeah, that's it. You have to. If you don't focus on him, you're going to lose every single game. But I don't know why this dude doesn't shoot. And that's,
I know. I hear you. Sean, thank you, my brother. I hear you. I appreciate it. I know. Now, I know you're young, but you're a smart sportsman.
You didn't give me too much credit.
You've seen that footage of how they play. It's just style.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's...
So you
anything
can't
stopping
play
them from
the triangle.
That,
like, the triangle was Shaq and Kobe. Right? You don't really have the triangle. And I remember the triangle when Phil instituted it in Los Angeles. I went out. I was working for the Inquirer. I went out and did a story on Kobe. And so I spent like 3 days with Kobe. It was funny. Like, I was in a car with him. He had bought this new Mercedes or whatever it was. And in fact, I drove with him to the airport at LA traffic. I mean, I was with him for a while. And so he had broken his arm or something, or he was hurt, shoulder, I forget what it was, but he had a cast on. And we were talking about this idea of the triangle, because Phil, and he's like, people were skeptical whether or not Kobe would flourish in it with him and Shaq. Remember, Jordan does. It's different with Jordan. But Tex Winter, who is the creator of the triangle, that movement worked, right? I hear you on Ben screens and movement, but I just don't think it works with Embiid. I think it can work for a certain time, but that can't be your offense. I mean, you have to have motion in it, but you got other creators around.
Well, and, you know, Ben's saying all the right things, too. And he said, you know, recently that, you know, he's a basketball player. You put him on the floor, he can guard 1 through 5. He doesn't really care. He's going to make things happen. That's the answer you want to hear from him.
Yeah.
I wonder what his, you know, internal monologue actually is. What is he actually saying to himself? Is he actually buying in? Or is he telling the media the right things and internally he hates this?
Right. I don't know. It's a great question. Great, great question. Let's go to Cam in Delaware. Cam, the man. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Ant? How are you?
How you doing, Cam? What's happening?
Hey, I'm chilling out. This is my first time calling.
Oh, so
I was just listening to. Yeah, appreciate it. I was just listening to the first hour on the podcast. And I think you're selling Ben moving to the four just a little bit short.
Explain it to me, because I'm really, as you can tell, I'm really having trouble with it.
Yeah, so I think about it this way. When the game starts, the first 3 or 4 minutes is going to always be Embiid with the post up. Embiid's always going to get the post up, no matter who's controlling the ball. Embiid goes to the bench, like always, the first 3 or 4 minutes, Horford comes in. Then I think that's when Ben is going to become more of a roller. It's going to be a pick and roll between Shake and Ben. And that's when Ben's best games this season has become, when he was the roller in the pick and roll situation. You look at when he played the Nets, he had, I believe, 30-something points. And he was just a role man with Neto and himself. The Houston game, we lost, but he was a roller for that. And all of his best games came that way.
Well, what about the game against Cleveland where he wasn't the roller? He scored 30, whatever it was, 36. He had another big game. He had a monster where he was just attacking the rim. And yeah, he still had the ball in his hands. Like, the ball was still in his hands. Like, I hear you. And I'm not saying that he should never play in that position of roller, that dunker spot. I agree with you. At times you do it. But when Tyler uses the word, quoting Brett, exclusively taking the ball out of his hands, and I like Shake off the bench because I think I get offense off the bench. And the other thing, real quick, I hate Embiid coming out of the game 4 minutes into it. I hate Brett's rotation that way.
Yeah, hopefully it changes in the playoffs. You know, Embiid's going to have to play more games. But to your point about the Cleveland games, he was being guarded by the smaller guards that Cleveland has, Sexton and then the other guy that they have. And it was Tristan Thompson. So it wasn't like it was a good enough defense to stop him from getting to where he needs to be. If you look at all the playoffs so far, Celtics, Toronto.
Listen, I agree with you. But again, one of the things he didn't do against when he was walled up, he didn't attack the rim, right? Like,
right.
This year, he was way more aggressive. Like, I thought there were times where, you know, if you ask truthfully who the best player was, it was Ben.
And some of those games came when Embiid was out, though, when Horford was able to be at the 3-point.
I agree. I agree. You're right.
And I think some people get it mixed up with last year when they talk about him being in the dunker spot. But you got to remember, Jimmy was an ISO-heavy player.
Yep.
So Ben had nowhere else to be in that situation. He wasn't going to shoot the three.
Yeah.
So he had nothing to do but stand in the dunker spot. I can't wait to see Ben in the more of the roller position where he's, you know, he's setting the screen and he's running straight to the rim. And then he has a chance to either kick out to the three-point line with Tease or Tobias if he's out there, or he could just go straight up and try to dunk the ball.
Yeah, no, and listen, that all makes sense. I'm not saying you never run that, but you're a couple things. One, he don't space the floor for you.
Right.
So, and he's not spacing the floor for you with Embiid, right? Like, one of the reasons why you want to stretch four is to space the floor. And he's not doing that for Embiid. Right. And truthfully, Tobias's best game is a mid-range game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, and to that point.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no. To that point, remember when we played the Suns, I think it was the third or fourth game of the season, and Ben was just being the pick man for Tobias, and he was getting so many open looks off that mid-range shot because Embiid's not setting the pick. And if Embiid's setting the pick, he's automatically rolling to try to score. Ben was setting the pick for Tobias against the Suns, and he had a clean mid-range every single time off that pick. So I think it's going to work out well. And to your point, though, about spacing the floor, Ben wasn't spacing the floor as a point guard anyway for Embiid.
Right, but what you're doing is you're taking him out of his best thing is as a facilitator, is with the ball. And he'll never be a top five player in the league if he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I don't think he could be exclusively a four. It would have to be certain points of the game. You would have to switch it up because...
Yeah, I think he's less LeBron and more Magic.
Correct. I agree. He just needs to be more. We can't just continue to have, like during the season, we were always getting mad because Ben, it would be goes 2 minutes left in the game, yeah, and he'll score no points the second half of the game. I think with him being the roller, he has no choice but to get the ball and go right up. As a point guard, he's more passive. He's more just.
Yeah, it goes back to the same thing, which is that he's got to take the shot. Goes back to take the shot. Because if he takes the shot, like let me ask you this, because I love the great conversation, Cam.
If
Ben's taking the shot, you got no problem playing him at the one.
Right. But he needs to take that shot. And I think he'll take it in the last final games in the playoffs just because it's no fans. So I think he'll be more comfortable with taking that shot.
Well, then keep him at the one.
No, he can take that shot, you know, off the roller, and he's going to have chances.
Yeah, but he's even better though. He's even better at the one when he can facilitate. Cam, what a great pleasure. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
Have a great one, buddy. It goes back to like all roads lead back to taking the damn shot. Got to take the shot. And I love the kid. Like, I'm frustrated because he's my favorite player. But I love Embiid because Embiid is so talented and fun. But Embiid frustrates me because he's so great. He's so talented that I think he should dominate every night. But there's something about Simmons that I could see. Like, I could see the future. And I can see dominance in the future if he just does certain things. And that's why I get frustrated with it. Coming up, I asked Devon to call in because I love Devon. Devon was hyped up, right, Ty, about the move?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's excited.
So I'm looking forward to talking to Devon. I respect Devon. So we'll have a little debate about it. And then I want some Eagle talk too, man. I get all the, everybody's got the long faces when it comes to Jason Peters. I mean, give me the end, right? You just need Peters because you got no Brandon Brooks. So I don't have a problem with that.
So you're okay with trading, I guess, the lesser guard play for the knowing the system play?
Yes.
Okay. I think because a lot of people wanted guys like Kyle Long.
I know.
And Walford.
Everybody wanted Walford. Yeah. But wouldn't you rather have Clowney and Peters than Walford?
Yes. Yeah, I think I would.
Just saying. 610-632-0975. Been busy all day. We finally have some open lines we're going to get through. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with Tyler in for the Tunis. Tunis is buzzing around. All the great teams have a go-to guy, right? When it comes to great tomato pie. My friends at Court Police Bakery and Deli are my go-to guys. They're the greatest. Oh, the tomato pie. Since 1924, the Court Police family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. I love them. I love these tomato pies. They're incredible. The beauty of the tomato pie, you walk in and any of their four locations, Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville, and the smell of the dough cooking. Oh, it's amazing. The olive oil, the fresh tomatoes, the dusting of the cheese, just the dusting. Have your event catered by Corps Police Bakery and Deli. Guests will be talking about how great the food was, perfect for any gathering. Desserts, ridiculous. You're going to love them all. The great teams have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. My friends at Corps Police Bakery and Deli, my go-to guy. See more at CorpsPoliceBakery.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.